Hello and welcome to Book Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, Paige Nick. And today's show is, as always, sponsored by our lovely friends at Exclusive Books. We're heading into May. In fact, May starts tomorrow, which means the Franschhoek Literary Festival is coming up soon. This is easily one of South Africa's greatest literary festivals, and it's definitely one of my favorites. They draw some of the biggest local and international names in fiction and nonfiction. And this year is no exception. In fact, I was just looking at their lineup, and this may just be their biggest year ever. But more about that shortly. So to highlight this incredible opportunity for South African book, politics, and literary lovers, we thought we'd dedicate an entire show, that's a full hour, to this festival. We've invited Danielle Wheatley, who is an editor of the festival, and Jennifer Ball, who is the festival program director, to take over today's Book Choice show and share the inside track on the festival with you. So coming up, they'll be chatting to some of the big name international and pan-African authors who will be appearing at the festival to whet your appetite. They'll be sharing some real insider info on what to see, do, eat and drink at the festival. And of course, where to book your tickets for the Franschhoek Literary Festival. So before I hand the mic over to the Franschhoek Literary Festival team, I wanted to share some of the big names I'm excited about, who you might recognize. All of these names will be appearing at the festival this year. I find it truly remarkable that we're able to have this kind of talent right here, live, on our doorstep. You'll be able to see David Walliams, of Little Britain fame, who's also written a host of multi-million copy best-selling children's books, such as Gangster Granny and Mr. Stink. Cecilia Ahern will be at the festival. She's an Irish novelist known for her works like P.S. I Love You, which was turned into a major blockbuster. You may recognize that one. I'm told she's brought out a book a year since she started writing, and she's now published in nearly 50 countries, and she's sold over 25 million copies of her novels worldwide. She'll be chatting and be on a bunch of panels at the festival. Another massive author at the festival this year that I'm super excited about is Patrick Radden Keefe. He wrote Empire of Pain, which opened up the conversation about the Sackler family and the opioid crisis in America. This book is astonishing. He's also written a slew of other cracker investigative books and articles. And there are so many more big names. Another one that really interests me is Andrei Kurkov. Kurkov is one of the Ukraine's greatest living authors, who interestingly writes in Russian. He's the author of 19 novels, including the best-selling Death and the Penguin. He's written 9 books for children and about 20 documentary fiction and TV movie scripts. He's a real talent. I told you, it's an incredible lineup, and that's just a few of the international authors. You'll be able to see a host of big-name South African and Pan-African authors, thought leaders, politicians, and entertainers too, such as Thuli Madonsela, Craig Higginson, Angela McCawa, Diane Auerbach, Justice Malala, Mark Lottring, and Peter Dirk Ace. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Now I'm just name-dropping. Okay, one last thing. I really want to thank Exclusive Books again for affording us this space. I mean, an entire hour dedicated to books. What a luxury. Thanks to your kind sponsorship, Exclusive Books, we couldn't do this without you. Okay, so we've got one quick track coming up, and then I'll hand over to Danielle Wheatley and Jennifer Ball to tell you more about the Franschhoek Literary Festival. This is Hester Bayers Martin with And I Love Her.
Thank you. Jane, the festival this year has such a cracking lineup. A mix of sessions we've come to know and love from Franschhoek Lit Fest's past, but also a whole lot of newness. Please talk us through your vision for this year's program, and I'd love to know a couple of local highlights from you as well, please.
Thanks so much, Dan. So I really wanted to present a program this year that was very varied and diverse, with sessions that would inspire our audiences, enlighten them, challenge them, and also entertain them. And the festival is also, of course, always about showcasing new work by mm-hmm. South Africa's top authors and thinkers, and also about introducing new voices on the scene. So I'm thrilled we've got some really established and acclaimed local authors on the program, and some debut authors as well. Well, what I'm also so excited to present on the program this year is a nice long list of Pan-African and international writers who are jetting in, and they will bring a continental and global perspective to their panels, which is just so exciting to have on
Amazing.
The program. Yeah. And then just quickly for anyone who hasn't attended the festival before, yeah. just in a nutshell, what you can expect. It is three glorious days of panel discussions with authors, some one-on-one author interviews, really in-depth into mm-hmm. their new books. We have a bunch of fantastic writing workshops, poetry performances, panels on poetry, and more. There are film screenings as well. So it's really, there's a nice mix of things to attend.
Yeah, so not just for book lovers, but way more outside of just the words.
Absolutely, yeah.
And tell me about the local authors. I mean, I know that the Franschhoek Lit Fest has always been a space where we've been able to, as you said, unearth local talents and hear from some of the smartest thinkers who have written books over the past year. Looking at those sessions, what are we in for?
Well, I'll start on the literary fiction
yes.
and the literary authors that are coming to the festival this year, because it's been such a great year in publishing for literary fiction and literary nonfiction. So we are hosting Ivan Vladislavic, the mm-hmm. acclaimed author. He has now got a new book called The Near North, which he'll be speaking about. Mm-hmm. We'll also be hosting Karen Jennings, who was longlisted for the Booker Prize for her novel The Island. Mm-hmm. And she's got a new book called Crooked Seeds, which we'll be speaking about at the festival. And also Craig Higginson, who's just come out with a new epic historical novel called The Ghosts of Sam Webster. Also on the nonfiction literary offering is Hedley Twiddle, who's just brought out a new collection of essays called Show Me the Place. So absolutely thrilled to be hosting those great literary minds mm-hmm. In conversation together on a few sessions as well.
And what about the news and politics side of things?
Yes, so that is always a real highlight of the festival.
Election year.
Indeed. Yeah, so we are going to have some of South Africa's top political minds and political commentators discussing and debating what the near future holds for South Africa and also South Africa's place in global politics. So we'll have Adrian Basson and mm-hmm. Quinita Hunter of News mm-hmm. 24 on their book. We've got Greg Mills speaking about his book, The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. Mm-hmm. We've got Oscar van Heerden. He's just written a book called Is the Party Over? Oh, and many more. We've got the wonderful Justice Malala. Yeah, there's a long list, so definitely check out the program.
I'm going to spin you now off the nonfiction to the fiction side of things, because I see there's a lot happening on romance and a whole lot happening on crime fiction and true crime and that side of things. So can you chat to us a little bit about the fiction side of the festival?
Yes. I mean, romance is hotter than ever
hotter.
On the sales charts at the moment. And so I've really been deliberate about inviting lots of South African romance authors who are some established mm-hmm. and are actually international bestsellers and Amazon bestsellers, and others who are brand new on the scene and really exciting, have produced some really exciting reads in the genre. Yeah, and these will be the sort of fun
yeah.
and I'm sure funny sessions that will be entertaining on, all things
Brilliant.
Falling in and out of love, dating dilemmas, messy relationships. All
Fabulous.
Of that great stuff.
And the crime thriller side of things, I see there's quite a bit on the true crime side.
Yes, I mean, that's also such a popular genre. And we actually have got the true crime podcaster, mm-hmm. Nicole Engelbrecht, coming to chair a few sessions with true crime writers. So she's chairing a session with Sam Heumann on her book, The Most Evil of Them All, When Narcissism Turns Deadly.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, no. Yeah. and Naledi Shanga is joining that session as well. She wrote Killer Cop, which is about the Rosemary Lovu case, which is fascinating. And Angela McCullough, who's a fiction writer, is also joining that session, though she comes in on her novel, Red Ink, and the follow-on, The Reed Dawn Stalker, for which she actually interviewed serial killer for a period of time while she was doing her research.
Oh,
for
that
those
sounds
books.
Juicy, those sessions.
Yeah, so that session is called Hearts of Stone. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's all about what makes a serial killer, from the narcissists to the psychopaths. It's going to be great.
Fantastic. And you mentioned earlier about sessions on the festival that had less to do with author discussions, but were sometimes a little bit different. I know Angela McCall was in one of those with the screenings of Red Ink. I know that the actress from Red Ink is joining her for one of those sessions. And I know that there was also Melodies into Words, which was one that you were particularly excited about. Do you want to maybe chat us through that session?
Yes, so one of the first sessions on the Friday is actually with Angela McCullough and Cecilia Hearn, that fabulous Irish author. Yes, that's Cecilia Hearn of P.S. I Love You. That session will be about what it's like to have your novel adapted for the screen.
Right.
You know, a few of Cecilia's books have been made into films, and Angela's Red Ink has just been made into a Showmax original.
Yes.
And yeah, Angela's also going to be in conversation with the lead actress of that production, on a separate session, specifically about the making of Red Ink, the Showmax original. And it will also be screening at the festival. So,
okay, great.
Yeah.
And the Melodies into Words?
I am so excited about Melodies and Words. It is a performance by the fabulous duo Linnell Kennard and Stefan Lombard. So Linnell is an operatic singer. She's a soprano. And Stefan joins her on the piano. And they've put together a program of different song cycles from German, French, and Afrikaans operas, all inspired by literature.
Wow.
And performances are going to be woven together by poetic translations read by the wonderful actress Jazeera Jazlin. So I think it's going to be so special and beautiful. It's going to be in the Ingi Church in Franschhoek, which is just the most exquisite venue. And yeah, this event is our main fundraiser for the festival, which supports our outreach initiative, Franschhoek Reading. So I hope that we'll see lots of Fine Music Radio listeners at that event and at the festival, because I think you're all going to love it.
Yes, the festival itself is hosted on the weekend of May the 17th to the 19th. And while it is a highlight of the local literary calendar, it is so much more than a books festival. The Franschhoek Lit Fest supports Franschhoek Reading, our outreach initiative in the Franschhoek Valley that supports school libraries of disadvantaged learners, impacting the reading experiences of more than 2,500 learners every single year. We have on the line Paul Segukwa. Paul is the owner of the wine farm Cain Goederist and a member of the Franschhoek Lit Fest board. Paul, hello. Thanks for joining us. I've just got one question for you, and this is what I wanted to ask, jumping straight in. You have personal experience having grown up as the son of a worker on a wine farm. What is the importance of literacy to the young people of the valley?
Literacy is very important in a sense of the farm, because if you grow up as children of farm laborers, your world is rather small. You must remember, if you live on a farm, most of the farms are removed from the towns and cities.
Yes.
Your interaction is usually mostly with the people on the farm. Books have the ability to be an escape mechanism. Books can take you to places that you have never imagined. Book can take you to China, can take you to Nigeria. It could be a story in America. And that kind of escape for a child on a farm is just invaluable. It's just amazing. And that's what literacy and books can do for you.
I mean, I love that. I think that that Franschhoek Reading initiative is of such incredible importance and value to the community, right?
To me, it is the most important thing about the whole festival. The fact that the leave behind or the legacy of the festival is paying for libraries and library assistants and librarians in these disadvantaged schools. I come from that background of being a child of a farm laborer,
yes,
where education, number one, is not very much highly regarded when we grew up, because the narrative has always been that if you are a child of a farm laborer, you are basically the next crop of labor on that farm or neighboring farms. Mm. And for farm labor, back then, education was not a priority. And for me, my escapism or my ability to get off the farm was only through books and education, which is something my mother was very, very passionate about. Now, my mother came from the Eastern Cape. She started working on the land, later on moved to the cellar, and never had an education. And she insisted that the only way we can change these narratives is through education. And education starts with books, starts with the reading and writing.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm going to ask you one last question to put you on the spot. What are you most looking forward to this year's festival?
The competition with the schools.
Oh, wonderful. Yes.
That's just an incredible program that the festival brought to the schools. What they basically do is that we give books to students or learners from various primary schools. And during the festival, we have a quiz. The excitement that you get from the learners, the schools, the parents, the teachers. It's an amazing competition.
That's amazing.
And you get to win books for your school. And that, for me, is the highlight. Of course, the authors that are coming through to Franschhoek.
Sure.
But I'm most excited about the Leave Behind, which is the donations of books to the school libraries and also to the kids themselves having the opportunity to win books.
Yes.
That, for me, is the highlight.
Amazing. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you for the chat. We'll see you at the festival.
Looking forward to the festival. And if you are in the valley, come visit us at Kleingoederst Wines.
Wonderful. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Cheers. That was Buchanan with So Many Things, and I'm going to step straight back into more chats about the program. And we are moving our attention to the Pan-African authors. These learners get to read books, but thanks to some of the Pan-African authors attending this year's festival from Nigeria, Kenya, Namibia, Ethiopia, they also get to read about a shared African experience as told by African protagonists and African authors. Jen, I know you're thrilled to welcome some Pan-African authors to this year's sessions. Femi Kayode, the Nigerian-born crime fiction author, is one. Femi, I know Jennifer is a big fan of your character, Philip Taiwo. Won't you tell us a little bit about your new book, Gaslight, and your choice, second part, to craft Philip as an investigative psychologist?
That's a good one. I think that's something that I've always... I get asked that question a lot in terms of, you know, why an investigative psychologist? And so my first cheeky answer is, why not?
We love a cheeky answer.
But a deeper one really is really just that it was the one profession that I was sincerely curious about. Mm-hmm. You know, I really was curious about it. I studied psychology for my master's degree, and I didn't know that there was a field of study called investigative psychology. And I thought it was a very fascinating space, and I wasn't going to go back to school. So I was channeling my curiosity through Philip Taiwo, for one. But more importantly is that it is a field of study that exhibits genuine curiosity about crime and about how crime is committed and about how crime is solved. And I thought it was just a very, very nice, new, innovative way of approaching crime stories. And I felt that a character like Philip Taiwo, who I wanted to be a compassionate and empathetic hero, would really gravitate towards. Does that help, though?
Wonderful. It absolutely does. Now, Gaslight is your second book with Philip Taiwo, right? There was Light Seekers,
yes.
And now this is the new one.
Yeah.
Both based in Nigeria, is that correct?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Gaslight, and do we need to read Light Seekers first?
To sell books, I would like you to read both. In any order.
The honest answer.
But to be fair, and we get, writers of series get asked this a lot. You don't have to read, each book should be a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
In any series, you go to the Jack Reacher series, you go into the James Bond series, you can read them as a standalone.
Yes.
You know, the thing that is consistent across board is the character arc, the development of the character arc. You know, if a character gets married in book one, for instance, then he was a bachelor in book one, and then in book two he's married. But that's how you meet him. That's how you meet that character. So you don't have to read Light Seekers before Gaslight.
Okay.
In either case, I would like to believe that they are standalones and they can stand on their own, and that each story and each plot arc is complete in each book.
Fabulous. What can we expect from Gaslight?
Gaslight is a very, it's a story that's been burning at the back of my head for a very long time, even before I wrote it. And it was actually pitched when I got my book deal the first time around in 2019. And it's really a story about a mega church in Nigeria, where the wife has disappeared. The wife of the pastor has disappeared, and the husband is being accused of killing her. But there's nobody. There's nobody. But it seems as if the police has a lot of evidence against this man, and that's this pastor, and that's why they have arrested him. And so Philip Taiwo was brought in by his sister, who goes to that church, to help clear the bishop's name, the pastor's name.
Okay.
And so in going through the investigation, we realized that, it's a lot bigger than what we think. And Philip now doesn't trust anyone as he's finding answers. And what's fascinating about it is that one of the people he doesn't trust is the supposed victim. I thought that was a nice, ingenious way of giving the victim a voice.
Oh, and a cliffhanger for us to end this this little chat on. Wonderful. Femi, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us. We're so looking forward to seeing you at the festival in a few weeks.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Have
thank
a lovely
you.
Day.
And you too. Cheers. Also on this year's program is Irene Muchemi Ndiri. Irene's debut novel, Lucky Girl, considers what it means to be an African immigrant in America at the turn of the millennium. Irene, you're joining us for the session Longing and Belonging with fellow Pan-African author Kobe Benben and international author Candace Carty-Williams. What are you most looking forward to in this session?
I'm actually looking really forward to talking about immigration. You'd be surprised. But Lucky Girl is my novel. and it looks at issues of like diaspora. So you leave your home and you go to this new place and you have such feelings of sadness and loss. You know, you've left home, mm-hmm. especially when you leave home when you're so young, you know. And then you go there and you have this deep sense of loss and you miss home and, you know, you focus only on the things that you're missing. And then after a while, you start to get used to the new environment and you start to understand the norms and the food and the people. And suddenly you feel like you belong in this new place. And so when you go back home sometimes, like to visit, or even let's assume you went back home for good, you know, you really, really struggle for at least the first months or maybe a year, 2 years, you know, with feeling like, well, now you lost all your friends. You'd have to go and look for these people all over again or make new friends. You struggle with the culture. Maybe you think that now this is too conservative or whatever, you know. So I think for me, that's what longing and belonging is, because I've been an immigrant since I was, 18 years old. And I went to America for college and I stayed there for years, you know, and then rather than go home, I moved to South Africa, which is also a foreign country. So I feel like I'm really an expert
on
this thing of, like, you know, being lost, not belonging here, not belonging there, because you become this weird, like, breed of person, you know, and you can only relate sometimes to other immigrants. So that's what I think longing and belonging means.
I think it's going to be such a thought-provoking session. And I'm going to ask you one last question, which is just to tell those of us who are listening where you're from originally.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Kenya. I left Kenya when I was 18 or 19, I think 18 years old. I went to college in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and I did my bachelor's, and then I in California, I did my master's in New York. And I worked for a long time, and I got married, and I had children, American children. and then I moved here, and I moved as an adult. I was in my 30s. My husband got an opportunity here, and we wanted to, you know, raise our kids in Africa, and we have no regrets. It's been great. Yeah, so that's my story.
Wonderful. Irene, thanks so much. Thanks for joining us this morning on the show. We are so looking forward to seeing you in Franschhoek in 3 weeks.
Thanks so much.
Troy Onyango is not just an author, but also the editor of Lolware, an online literary publication. He is hosting a short story workshop in addition to his appearance on a number of panels. Troy, so you're hosting a short story workshop at this year's festival in addition to your appearance on a number of the panels. What I want to ask you today, what do you love about this short story genre? And then second, but what can readers expect from the workshop at the festival?
I think what I love about the short story format is just the brevity of it. You know, you can pack an entire life, entire slice of life, an entire sliver of life of a character into this, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 words, you know, unlike a novel, which, you know, gives you time to kind of explore other things around the character. The short story is about, in the moment, what is happening to this character that you kind of want the reader to be able to leave the page with. You know, I like that the short story format has more of a post-narrative space where you leave the reader thinking, what really happened to that character? What could have been on the page that wasn't on the page? And that allows, you know, there's almost this, the reader is invited to be a writer of the short story format in that way. They kind of have to think around what was not said rather than what was said. So that's kind of always been what draws me to the short story format.
I love
the brevity. I love the lyricism and the poetic nature of it. So that's always been a thing for me. With regards to the workshop, I think it's always been a case for me, you know, that you cannot teach someone how to write, but you can always point out the things to them that can make their writing better. So that's really what I'm bringing to the workshop. I'm bringing to the workshop the reality that people can be shown, you know, for example, if you look at a character that someone has already crafted, what can be made better about that character? If you look at the themes, how do we bring out the themes in a way that the reader is able to see and almost glean the themes without being necessarily told that these are the themes? And so just an exploration of the different elements of craft, that's kind of what I'm bringing to the workshop. I know there's so many elements of craft that cannot be handled in a short workshop like that, but I've taught creative writing for about 3 years now, so I'm relying on that experience to come to the workshop and say, hey, how do you write a short story from the start to the end? What are the basic elements that you need to make sure you have for a successful short story?
Wonderful. Well, we're so looking forward to the workshops and to having you with us in a few weeks' time. I have one last question for you, if you wouldn't mind just telling the listeners about your new book, For What Are Butterflies Without Their Wings?
Yeah, my short story collection, For What Are Butterflies Without Their Wings, really long title. it follows 12 short stories which follow different thematic concerns. One of the things I deal with is loneliness. Another thing is loss, love, and, you know, the search for longing, the search for intimacy and stuff like that. So that's just kind of the basic level of exploration. It deals with queerness. It deals with people who are always outside the center, people who are always in the margins. And I'm kind of asking questions, what happens when we bring these people in the margins to the center?
Beautiful. Thanks so much for joining us on the show this morning, Troy. We really appreciate it, and we're so looking forward to seeing you at the festival.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for having me.
Let's take a beat to listen to something. I've got Charles Duplessis, Le Quattro Stagioni, Concerto No. 1 in E major. Moving on to something a little bit different, BookTok. Say what now? It is the book-loving community on TikTok. When this social media platform picks up a book and runs with it, it runs all the way to bestseller. The hashtag BookTok is more than 31 million posts on TikTok. And books that go viral here rack up hundreds of thousands of views that translate into sales. One such author is London-based Bolu Babalola, who will be joining us at the festival to talk about her BookTok book of the year, Honey and Spice. Yes, it's a romance. Bolu, you are joining us for the festival this year to talk about your BookTok book of the year, Honey and Spice. And my first question, what I want to know is, what was that like winning BookTok Book of the Year?
Oh, it was so surreal because I feel like normally romance is such a divided genre generally. And to have that love directly from the readers, you know, meant so much to me than any other award could really, because it's by people who have a passion for the genre and a passion for literacy. So it truly meant everything.
It's so great that you said that, the passion for the genre. You obviously are a big fan of romance.
Yes.
Aside from your own, obviously, what are the big romance reads for you that really got you thinking, this is what I want to be writing about?
Oh, it's so hard to say because I've always written, like, generally since I was like 10 years old, and I've always been attracted to the romance genre. Pivotal moment that I can remember clearly, that I can pinpoint, was actually when I was like 12 years old. I was a voracious reader, always in the library, and the librarian placed a volume, a big old volume of Pride and Prejudice in my hand. And it struck me as just magical. The fact that this is a Regency era romance, essentially, about society and humans and how we interact and love, that I could relate to it. As young as I was, as far removed from that world that I was, I could relate to it. I could be warmed by it. I could like pick things up and like place it into my own life. And I think that's when I realized the power of romance, really, is how it kind of incises, it cuts through society, cuts through humanity, and allows us to understand ourselves better.
I love that. Now tell me, what can readers expect from your sessions at the festival this year? What are you hoping to chat about?
First of all, I want it to be very relaxed, like a gab with the girls, but also just geeking out about love and romance generally, but also what makes, I love my characters, I have to say. I've lived with them for so long. So talk about them, what makes their romance click. Yeah. What we learn about ourselves through writing romance and reading romance and just celebrating it, really.
And what is next for you, for Balu? What's next on the words horizon?
Oh, it's funny you should say that, because I'm actually currently about to start edits for the sequel to Honey and Spice.
Yay.
Which is actually, I'm so, so excited about it. It's around 10 years in the future. So they've graduated university.
Yeah.
They're full adults now. They've evolved. So excited for the world to see and for me to also just continue with the journey of Kiki and Malachi, because I know they have like a world of supporters out there.
I think people are going to love to read more about Kiki.
It means a lot. I just want to say also that I'm so, so excited to come to South Africa and meet the readers, because I get messages from them all the time and it truly means the world.
Oh, we're so looking forward to having you. I think that there's been lots of excitement about your sessions and about Book Talk for this year's festival. So I think we're going to have a wonderful weekend with you. But thanks so much for
Fantastic.
Joining us. We're looking forward to meeting you.
Thank you so much for having me and look forward to seeing you soon.
Brilliant. Thanks, Balu. Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so we've got Balu Babalola jetting in. Jane, tell me which other international authors are set to headline this year's festival. Can I play our listeners a teaser?
1,000 times, yes.
Hello to all my readers in South Africa. I'm David Williams, and I'm very excited to tell you that I'm going to be at the Franschhoek Literary Festival from the 17th to 19th of May. I'm going to be reading from my books, telling you lots of funny stories, and also there's going to be a chance for you to ask me any question you like. Now, tickets go on sale on Friday the 15th of March. If you want to know more, then follow the festival on social media and sign up for the newsletter, and you can get all the updates you need. And I hope to see you there.
Yes, so David Williams is coming to the Franschhoek Literary Festival, and we are just beyond thrilled. He's going to be doing two sessions for children, which is like a sort of showcase of all of his books, and he does performative readings and sort of entertains the children into like tears of laughter. So those
Brilliant.
Are going to be glorious. And then he is also doing a one-on-one interview where he will talk about his writing career, why he writes for children, what inspires his work, what makes him laugh, the sort of hilarious anecdotes of children writing him fan mail, which is sometimes not so complimentary.
Your youngest yeah. critics.
Yeah, and yeah, all the things that bring together his sort of wild and whimsical stories.
That
so
sounds like
just
such
can't wait.
Fun sessions. And who else is coming through? I know there are quite a few international authors on the program.
Yes, there are. So jetting in from Dublin, we're going to have Cecilia Ahern, who is, of course, the beloved Irish author of the book P.S. I Love You, which was also a much-loved film.
Yes.
She's going to be speaking about her new book, In a Thousand Different Ways, which is about a young girl growing up with a rare condition called emotional synesthesia, where she experiences the people around her's emotions as colors, very vivid sort of clouds of color, which can be very frightening to her. And this character is also growing up with a bipolar mother and is the primary caregiver to her mother. So one of Cecilia's sessions is called The Mother Load, and she's going to be joined by Wasani Mashunwa on his novel, A Soft Landing, which also features a protagonist who is the primary caregiver for a parent who's dealing with mental illness. So that's going to be a really moving and thought-provoking session about the sort of deep emotional lives of these characters.
Yes. Sounds beautiful. And tell us some of the others.
So we also have Candace Carty-Williams, the author of Queenie, which has been a contemporary classic, and a lot of people have compared it to Bridget Jones's Diary because it's about a character who's just like absolutely chaotic and trying to find her way through life as a young woman, a journalist in London. And so she's actually joining Bolu Babalora on a chat that I'm really looking forward to. The title of the session is A Cheeky Chat. They're going to be interviewed by the podcasting duo, The Cheeky Natives, which is Letlolo Nolo Mokoronye and Alma Nalisha Chele. And it's going to be all about unlikable characters, ill-advised relationships, and hot messes in general.
Sounds excellent. And what about, I see there's also Pip Williams on the program.
Yes. So Pip is coming in from Australia.
Yeah.
And she is going to be speaking about her novel, The Dictionary of Lost Words, which has been a real bestseller and
Loved it.
Glorious book about the making of words.
Such a beautiful book for a book festival.
Absolutely. And what's really exciting is she has a new novel sort of set in the same world, The Bookbinder of Jericho. So, yeah, absolutely thrilled to be hosting Pip as well.
Fantastic. Now, I know they're all coming in live, but there are two amazing sessions with international authors that are virtual.
Yes, well, a few, actually. So one of them is with Patrick Radden Keefe, the legendary and award-winning investigative journalist for The New Yorker.
Yes.
So he's best known for his book Empire of Pain, The Secret History of the Sackler Dynasty, and sort of breaking that opioid crisis story. And he's got a new book he's going to be discussing, which is called Rogues, True Stories of Grifters, Killers, Rebels, and Crooks, which is a collection of his 12 best stories from The New Yorker.
Great title.
Yeah, and then also joining virtually, we have Tim Marshall, who is a leading authority on foreign affairs and author of the best-selling book Prisoners of Geography. And he's got a really exciting and sort of pressing new book, The Future of Geography, How the Competition in Space Will Change Our World.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and he's going to be in conversation with Tony Leon on that.
Okay.
And then we also have, on the fiction side, we've got Linda LaPlante, the queen of crime. And she's going to be in conversation with Margie Orford on her writing career. She was going to give a sneak peek into her upcoming memoir. But yeah, that's just going to be fantastic. And then just our last virtual session is with Andrei Kirkov. Andrei is Ukraine's most celebrated author and novelist, and also a respected public intellectual and commentator on the Russia-Ukraine war. So he's discussing his new book, Diary of an Invasion, and what the future holds for Ukraine.
Oh, it sounds like such an exciting lineup. Nice balance of fiction and nonfiction. I mean, after all that excitement, I think we need a brief moment to just soak it all in. Here's DNA Strings with Bohemia. I know it's a mind-boggling lineup, which leaves little chance to think about anything but books, books, and books for the weekend. But I have asked the CEO of Frontchurch Tourism, Ruth McCourt, for a quick check-in. Ruth, hi. I wanted to ask you just one thing, which is this. What is the top thing to do in Frontchurch to round out your weekend festival experience?
Go for sundowners. If the weather is great, we have such wonderful views here of our little valley that is just so magnificent. And I would say go to Haut Cabrières or go to Mont Rochelle or go to La Petite Femme. They all have different views of our valley and they're all spectacular. So that's a nice thing to do that.
Brilliant.
And then, of course, lots of nice coffee places and breakfast in the main road.
Yes.
I would say you've got to try Smitten Turbidor.
Yeah.
We've got a lovely new artisanal bakery. It's called Mother Dough. You can buy fresh breads there if you're staying for the weekend, if you're staying in a self-catering place. And then we have Monomore in the courtyard. They have music playing there in the afternoons.
Wonderful.
We've got French Connection. Been here for 21 years. Wonderful bistro food. Ryan Boone next door for steak. And this is all on the main road where you can see and all the hype of activity of the festival goers.
So this is all within walking distance of the festival venues, right?
That's the beauty about Frontchurch, is everything is within walking distance and so accessible. And it's got such a fantastic atmosphere with people just roaming in our streets. It's fabulous.
Brilliant. Well, we can't wait to join you there. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Ruth.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye. Ruth, thanks so much. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Jen, any last words? Do you want to tell us a little bit about membership?
So you can sign up to be a member of the festival for 500 Rand, which gets you 15% discount on all sessions. And it also goes straight towards supporting our outreach initiative, Frontchurch Reading. So just visit our website and you'll see the membership options right on the top.
Brilliant. Thank you. The Frontchurch Literary Festival is on from May 17 to 19 and we are super excited to meet you all there. You can book tickets at Web Tickets and please do follow us on social media on Instagram at FranLitFest or on Facebook for all the updated information and any housekeeping that's coming up before the festival. Happy reading. We'll see you there.
Thank you so much, Danielle and Jennifer Ball and all the other contributors to the show. I can't remember a more enticing lineup for the festival. I really do urge you to check out their website and head out there for a few hours, a day, or even the entire weekend. It is such a joy. A heads up, though. The hardest thing about being at the festival for me is deciding which panels to go to. I always love poring over the schedule, and I find I always have a few that I really want to see that overlap with each other. Then you have to make the hard choices to go see one on politics that looks like it will completely challenge your worldview, or to go see a couple of your favorite fiction or nonfiction authors chatting about the inspiration and motivation behind their work and how they do what they do every day. The debates get really heated at Frontchurch, especially the political ones. So hopefully this show has whet your appetite for the Frontchurch Literary Festival. It really is of world-class standards. My thanks again go to Exclusive Books for sponsoring our show and to the Frontchurch Literary Festival team for doing today's show takeover. And as always, to Mzu Makete for pulling the show together and selecting the music. Until next time, happy reading. We're playing out with Sway by Crystal Burkholz. Thank you.
If